Sports Gamble Podcast.
Hi, welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast. I'm Isaac Rocha. I'm here with the man himself, Manny the Money Man, Money Maker. I don't know what nickname you're going with today.
Yeah, what moniker? Yeah, I just keep it OG. You just go with Manuel.
That's
my birth name. That's how it speaks.
It's a name you were born with.
Since birth.
Hey, have you done any mock drafts lately?
Dude, I was dying to do one, and I'm just like, you know what? I said I wasn't going to do one, so I'm not going to do one.
I don't think you were dying to do one.
No, because I've been out and about a lot and waiting at a lot of places, and I'm just like, you know, what is it to just download an app and get some results, you know, and because I know you've been doing it, and I just wanted to see interchange my results with your results. But
well,
I'm going to stick to it and not do it.
Well, I'm excited. So I've been mocking it up. And the reason why I'm excited is because football's back.
No, and I thank you. Yes, football is back. And I thank you because you share the results with me. And it's kind of like I'm living through you vicariously. You know, it's kind of like, you know, how I live through my rappers. Like, yeah, I sell chickens and cocaine, buffalo wings, and, you know, I have strippers in Wisconsin. And you know what I mean?
What kind of rap are you listening to?
WWE rap.
All right. But yeah, football is back, man. And we are excited. I'm excited. I know you went to Vegas, so you're actually maybe trying to make money from these preseason games. I don't know. That's crazy to me, but
no, I mean, any reason to get away, and I'm blessed. Like, I was like, I took my daughter to go back to school shopping in Vegas. I don't know what kind of degenerate does that, but it happened to coincide with the kickoff of preseason football, you know?
Yeah, that's just a coincidence, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it was. I didn't like leave her in a room and then leave it to the sports book. That would have been true degenerate. And I can hang on for a few more years, and then I'll really revert to that true degenerate status.
Yeah. Well, I mean, football's back and we're back. You know, we wanted to record a lot sooner, but you're busy. I'm busy. We both got lives. I know everyone wants to hear us and they think we're just podcast superstars and we can just do this whenever. But we have to go earn money. We don't make all of our money with podcasts. Just a little
bit. Well, I will leave that for another subject or another pod. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, so let's get into it. We're going to break down quarterbacks.
With that, I wanted to ask you. I kind of just thought to me, because I've been thinking recently, I'm like, you know what? I don't think the preseason is too long. I used to think. But now I think, like, you know what, it's a season unto its own. It's a different animal to navigate, and it gets everybody's engines revved up, you know, and every game keeps you on the edge of your seat because you're watching that ticker, and if you don't watch the game, you're waiting to see who got injured, you know, or who had a killer game that's just going to shoot up the draft boards, you know, or crazy stuff like that. So I don't think it's too long anymore. I used to be that, as you know, not too long ago. Even as of last year, I used to be like, man, they need to cut it to three games, you know. But I'm just like, you know, let them make their money. And it's all about money. So I don't think they can cut it, because that's how players earn their money, is by how many games they play. You talk about all this guaranteed contract stuff. I mean, the NBA players, they play in just regular season alone, not even including the playoffs. They play 82 games a year. That's how they're able to generate all that money. And that's how they get all that you know, access on television, and that's how they're able to, how do I put it, like, grow their sport in overseas, whether it's Europe or China, you know? So actually, I think the length of the preseason is just fine. You know, you can protect your star players as is. The diehards are still going to show up to the games and pay regular season ticket prices for games that don't mean anything. And I don't feel sorry for you if you do that, you know? Yeah. It just means you can afford it, so do it. More power to you.
Well, I don't know what's too long, preseason or your explanation of why you don't think it's too long. So,
how long was that?
Anyways, man, let's get into it. We're going to break down the quarterback rankings this time. We're going to look at a little preseason action, and then we're going to talk to you about, you know, a little bit of Vegas action that you've done. But let's look at these quarterback rankings first. Now, everyone is saying that this year quarterback is super deep and wait until round 17 to draft your first quarterback. So don't draft any of these guys, because no matter where you get Cam Newton, it's going to be too early. What do you think about that?
You know, I always been that, you know, now there's a word for it. I guess it's hipster, that hipster guy that doesn't like to overpay, quote unquote, for his quarterbacks to wait, you know. But I really think that you have to hit a home run with your quarterback. So if you feel like you have to get a Cam Newton and you feel strongly enough that at the end of the year he's going to end up, you know, top 10 fantasy, then you just get him wherever you want, as long as you're confident enough in as far as you're confident enough that you're going to draft other positions well, you know? And you can't miss if you go for quarterback early. But
yeah, no, I hear you. It's an important position. You know, you want your quarterback to put up points. I think people just feel that you can get that home run later in the draft. But let's look at the top right here. We got Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Would you say those guys are all in about the same tier, or maybe Cam is a little bit ahead of them and Aaron Rodgers is a few, you know, steps below Cam Newton? Is Cam Newton in his own tier? Because last year he put up amazing points.
Yes, he is.
So he's just without a doubt number one.
Yes. There. I mean, unless you see his game evolve, but I still think he has a year or two of just scrambling out of the pocket, or, you know, he just loves going to the end zone, and he's such an egomaniac, which you really can't take away that away from most of the greats, you know? So I think he's going to still take touchdowns at the goal line, whether that's at the two, you know, quarterback draw at the seven. I still think he hasn't matured enough to where he's just going to either just roll out and throw it away. He's still going to try to go for that pipeline. And even Aaron Rodgers, he's smart. He's up there where he's evolved. He's matured where he's not going to try and do that unless it's a playoff game. You know, you understand me? Or, you know, a Super Bowl. The same thing with Andrew Luck. I think he's at number three. He knows, you know what, I can't be going out with lacerated kidneys. Or, I'm sorry, yeah, lacerated kidneys, right?
So you think there's some value to the guy who's just going to just air it out? Because I look at someone like Russell Wilson, who actually the rankings I'm looking at have Russell Wilson number three and Luck four, but whatever. That's nitpicking.
Well, I downloaded this a while ago when you sending me the initial overview of the podcast. So I guess I don't have updated.
You got some outdated information, buddy.
I got some outdated information, yeah. But good thing I have you. So I'm never outdated.
Right, you're never outdated, not even your style, wardrobe, at all.
No, exactly.
So you think there's more value in someone who's going to sling it around a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like Russell Wilson. The whole PPR concept, you know? Yeah. I mean, the whole PPR concept, the people who sling it around are going to have that value still. But, yeah, I would say Cam Newton's on an island by himself because I think he especially doesn't really have, like, a go-to guy. You know, and I think that was great. That was That was a blessing in disguise, the fact that Kelvin Benjamin was out for the year, because it allowed him to, you know, hang on, be patient, utilize that tight end, sneaking out of the, you know, the middle of the field, and then just hitting him, you know, for a deep 20, 25, 30, and he's going to break one tackle, just one safety, and then he's off to the house. So.
Yeah, I could see that. It did kind of force him to, you know, do it all on his own, maybe. Is that what you're trying to say?
Overall, it's just really, you know, trust his teammates.
Yeah.
You know, be more patient in the pocket. Not just, well, all I got is Kelvin, you know. Let me just look to one side of the field. And if he's not there, then I have to just, you know, tuck it down and run. So,
yeah, he definitely
it's a different level of maturity than that of, oh, I'm inside the 10, I can smell the end zone, and I want to do my Superman dance, or I want to introduce the new Dab 2.0, you know?
Mm-hmm. So my last question, my last thing on Cam, is round four too early for him because he's going around round four?
Well, I defer to you, bro. You tell me. Is that too early? I mean, you're the DFS. You're doing all these mock drafts. You tell me. What are the people telling you out there? Where's he going, and where do you think he should go?
I think it's too early because there's no way he's going to put up the numbers he did last year. So it's way too early, especially when you have the value of someone later in the draft, like a Tom Brady, who we'll talk about in a minute. I really like Phillip Rivers this year, and there are a few sleepers I like who I think are going to – you can get way later in the draft to put up better value.
Okay, we did mention Brady, and we could talk about him now or later. Yeah. In the rankings I have, he's number 5.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's at number 8 on these rankings, but I mean,
yeah, okay, that's more reasonable. I can see, because on these where he was number 5, I was like, even 8's too high for me. I think that he takes a drop. He's not going to end up being a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
Oh, I think he absolutely
now
will.
I can see games. Now I can see that he has DFS value, but even then, he might be overpriced just based on reputation. My guy's 39. It's not like he's not even savvy in the pocket anymore. He just has to get rid of the ball, or else he's going down. I mean, I saw that. I know there's a Denver rush, and then there's everybody else. But still, I think he has to be more smart, because he has to take care of his body to play in the games that matter. And I don't – he's going to be behind the eight ball, being 4 games behind everybody else. You know, everybody else can get 4 games of stats to put up. They have a very shaky offensive line. I for as much as I like Deion Lewis, he's fine, but he's a great PPR guy. Just if you're looking at it as a numbers game, but their running back situation as a straight up handicapper, it sucks. I don't trust James White. Any of those, all those guys are scat backs. There's not a Corey Dillon on the squad. LeGarrette Blount, I mean, there's not much behind him as far as true running back. You know, exactly what happened to the Steelers last year against Denver, where they had nothing behind D'Angelo Williams, and D'Angelo Williams is your backup. But now I think you got to have like a stable of running backs. And I know you're probably thinking like, yeah, Emmanuel's crazy. But yeah, they put up numbers and you fall in love with numbers over the course of a season. But I'm looking at it long term as just straight up handicapper. And I'm scared for the New England Patriots. I like the fact that they got Martellus Bennett. You know, I can't talk smack about that.
But I think for fantasy purposes, I think Tom Brady is going to be fine. Like you said, Martellus Bennett, and I like James White and Deion Lewis for his skill set. They do have LeGarrette Blount, who can run the ball. They do have good wide receivers. They have this rookie who's looking pretty good, Rodgers, in the preseason. So the only risk I think you're taking with Tom Brady is you're not having him for the first 4 games. But he was the number 2 quarterback last year. So
yeah, I hate to get caught up on what happened last year. My guy, he's 39. That's the way I'm looking at it.
All right, I think he got maybe a year or two left in him. That's what I'm saying. All right. Bottom line is Tom Brady's not going to be there for 4 games, so I think that's what's the biggest risk about him.
Okay, well clearly though, like, okay, in the rankings that they've definitely – we'll just go off your rankings, but I had prepared to go off mine. And mine, that had Drew Brees number 6, and uh-huh. I would have Drew Brees. I would flip-flop them easily, and obviously in your rankings they have, uh-huh. So there's no beef there. But yeah, I don't see – and we can go back. I don't see Tom Brady ending up as a top 10 fantasy quarterback on here. Now, if you want to ask me, okay, well, who's going to take over? I would say.
But is Tom Brady not going to be a top 10 just because he misses 4 games? Or just because in those 12 games, he's not going to perform in top 10?
No, and that's what I'm saying. Maybe he has more value in DFS leagues. But I don't think you should draft him wherever he's being drafted right now, because he's going to be out those 4 games.
Right.
Okay. I wouldn't.
You're
I
don't saying know it's how not worth the risk. Are. All right. Okay. I mean, yeah, we play in a league where it's a short roster, and it'll be hard to roster 2 quarterbacks like that.
Yeah, hell no. I mean, no, especially if I start week 5, or I'm just talking out of my ass. I haven't checked that really. But
so when you look at quarterbacks, I mean, the top of the list are like these standbys, you know, Rodgers, Wilson, Luck, Brees, Big Ben, Carson. Out of all of those guys, I'm truly frightened of Carson Palmer. And I don't know if it's necessarily founded, because he has great receivers. He has a great receiving back in Johnson. He did great last year. But man, that it's just recency bias, man. How he performed in the playoffs, I'm like, man, that's the Carson Palmer I know. You know, he's going to just shard on himself at any given moment.
I think you bring up a valid point. But even with that said, I mean, not only is it a shaky offensive line as far as pass protection, but I think that Bruce Arians is going to scale it back a little bit. They're definitely going to depend more on David Johnson, their premier running back. So just give him, like, you know, easy just dump off passes to him, or a couple bombs every now and then off play action, but it's going to be get rid of the ball quick. They're going to protect Carson Palmer for the end of the season, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's another guy who's been – I know he wasn't fully healthy last year in the playoff game against the Panthers. That's been well speculated. And also, you know, he had that one – this goes with – I shouldn't even mention this, so it doesn't even matter. But, yeah, I could see why you're being, you know, cautious as far as – I've never liked – I'm not a Carson Palmer guy. Maybe I'm just bitter because he burnt the Raiders, but – I just never believed in him whatsoever. And, yeah, I don't think you hit your wagon to a guy like that.
Right. I mean, I completely agree. I have a little bit of concern for Russell Wilson that his offensive line still sucks, but he seems to not get hurt, even though he takes a lot of sacks. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I love Russell Wilson this year.
Uh-huh.
I think he's finally arrived, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of hard to say he's arrived. You know, he's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But that was a great defense that took him there. But yeah. Enough about the past. I think he's finally arrived as a viable top 3-4 fantasy quarterback for the next, you know, 7-10 years. Because they can definitely put – that offensive line can just continue – can only get better. I know you're not really confident in it, and I can see why. They have to prove themselves. They have a – they lost two starters to a terrible offensive line, so you're like, you know, kind of scared. Sweezy, I don't know where he went, and Okung, he went to the Super Bowl champion, Denver Broncos. So I can see why you're scared, but yeah, I think he knows how to elude the rush, he knows how to drop it down and not take hits, and he knows how to, just when a play breaks, he's awesome. And now, even when a play doesn't break, I think he's ready to feed Tyler Lockett and Baldwin, you know, and Curse. Last year's rookie, Paul Richardson, just – I think he was the fastest – one of the fastest guys in the draft. He didn't play very much, but, I mean, I don't even care if he throws it to Jimmy Graham or not. He's going to put up numbers.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. I mean, that there is that concern of him taking sacks, but he doesn't get hurt, and he slings it, and he could run, and he's just really good. Had a good year last year. There's one guy who did not have a good year last year, and that was Andrew Luck. Is he going to bounce back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That guy's what you'd call a thoroughbred. He's a straight-up horse. Anybody who doubts the fact that he's going to come back is definitely not watching football. But that guy's had it since he was a high school, I bet. You know, he's just – he eats MCs and DBs for dinner. So, I mean, do you disagree?
I mean, I don't know what they have. Did they get better at receiver? Did they get better at line or running back? I don't think so.
They drafted three linemen, and they picked up a free agent lineman. His name escapes me right now. So they did know, like, okay, we have to protect our guy. It's a young offensive line. So they have to prove themselves. Uh-huh. But he's a great leader, man. And, I mean, get better at receiver. I think by having Andre Johnson leave town, they automatically got better at receiver. I like Moncrief. You know, I like T.Y. Hilton. I think they kept the wrong tight end. I would have kept Colby Fleener myself. But Dwayne Allen is, you know, very athletic, and I'm sure he can make the catches. But I just like my tight ends to be very workmanlike, you know, and Dwayne Allen just has a mouth on him. A lot of people don't know, and I just know because I read a lot about, you know, handicapping stuff. But, yeah, I think Russell Wilson – excuse me, I think Andrew Luck is a can't-miss. Can't-miss prospect, you know.
Okay. Well, you know, then we started –
tell you this, I would rather have Andrew Luck than Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you can definitely get Andrew Luck a lot later than Aaron Rodgers, so there's the value. That's – I mean – and that's one of the words you hear in a lot of podcasts, a lot of, you know, people talk about is value. And there's a lot of value in quarterbacks. We start getting into...
Okay, with that said, I'm sorry. So where's Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck? How big is the gap in their ADP in their, you know, average draft place, I guess?
I don't know the ADPs right now. But, I mean... Russell Wilson is probably going, you know, two or three rounds ahead of Andrew Luck. because it's Newton, Rodgers, and Wilson. Then there's a little wait, and then you start getting into Luck, Breeze, Ben, and those kind of guys. So the consensus is Wilson, you know, is going to get drafted higher than Andrew Luck. And people are just concerned about Andrew Luck because of he got hurt last year and his numbers were just terrible last year.
And I would even go as far, maybe, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you feel strongly about it a different way. I would even go the other way and say, if you wanted a safe pick, yeah, Cam Newton is on an island by himself. But just the fact that you know Russell Wilson's going to stay on the field, I would say he's the safer pick at number one, in my opinion.
So, you know, we start getting into Breeze, Ben, Carson, Brady, Eli. That's 5 through 9. Those guys kind of bore me a little bit. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to draft those guys because, you know, part of the fun of fantasy is getting guys that you like and you want to root for. And I feel like there's some young and up-and-coming quarterbacks that are really going to put up some sats this year. I'm going to list those to you, and you're going to tell me what you think about them. Is that okay?
Shoot.
All right. Derek Carr, he's number 15. Marcus Mariota, 16. Kirk Cousins, 14. I could have went in order 14, 15, 16. But what do you think about those guys? Cousins, Carr, Mariota.
What did Cousins say?
14, 15, 16. Cousins, Carr, Mariota.
Okay. Oh, so Cousins has dropped a little bit because on mine, he was at 11. And I thought it was a little bit high, but I mean, now.
Now they got Rivers at 11.
As I said it before in a prior podcast, that they have like no rushing game. So I could see.
And Matt Jones got hurt yesterday.
Yeah. That's even more valuable because I'm glad you brought him up. I was going to recommend actually that you do pick him up. Don't be scared of the injury. Don't be scared that he's going to be craptastic at rushing the ball because he's still such a great pass catcher. Mm-hmm. In this PPR-driven era, he's even if he has like 3 catches, he's good for like 90 yards, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just always has that potential to take it to the house. So I would advise against drafting him as one of those throwaway picks that you have when you have like a 15, 16-team roster. What do you say?
Matt Jones?
Yes.
I like him. I mean, the injury is a concern, but I think that he has value. He's going late, and the later he can go, the more value I'll get, so that's for sure.
Yeah, I read not to be too concerned about the injury. They were more concerned with another fumble that he had in the game, so that's even more concerning to me too, actually, because I'm like, damn, what's wrong with you? Damn. Anyway, okay, so Cousins... Cousins, Carr, and who was the other one?
Cousins, Carr, Mariota.
Yeah, see, I automatically don't get a read on Carr. No, you know what? Actually, Carr, he's going to have a fabulous year because he's a gunslinger. And I'm really down on the Raiders running game, even though there people might say, what the hell are you talking about? The Raiders have offense line. That's awesome. I'm not a Latavius Murray guy. He doesn't do it for me. I really think they should have grabbed a free agent running back, which they didn't. So that doesn't help them any. But, yeah, I think he's going to have a fabulous year, whether he's throwing it to Clive Alford or Crabtree and Amari Cooper. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Cousins, all they're going to do is throw the ball. I totally agree with you. And the thing that worries me about Mariota is that he's going to have modest numbers. So I would disagree with you on Mariota because they're allegedly going to be a power running team and they're already doing that in preseason. I could see plenty, like it's going to be Splitsville between DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, the rookie out of Alabama. Apparently he had like, you know, 7 carries for like 90 yards and a couple of touchdowns on Thursday. So they're expecting great things out of him, and he's going to be allegedly even better than he was at Alabama. And I think Mariota, they're just going to protect him with the run game. So I think in place of Mariota, I think a guy you should look at is like Winston.
Well, the reason why I bring these guys up is because I really don't want to talk about, oh, who's your backup quarterback? Because most leagues only have one quarterback, you know?
No, good, because I don't see Marcus Winston as a backup.
So
I think he can definitely end up in the top 10.
Because I think where the real value is going to be is if you can get one of these guys, you know, later in the draft and have them be a legitimate starter on your team, a top 10. Which one of these guys is most likely to be a top 10 quarterback? Because if you can do that, then that means you're getting way more value at your other positions, which there's you're starting more of them. You know, to me,
okay, that all right. So, you want okay, to identify okay. that guy. So let's just go, because I think I'd put up Winston against everybody you said. I prefer Winston over everybody you said. Just and, over Derek Carr.
And they got him ranked at 19th. So, I mean, you're talking value there.
Oh, big time. Right here, he's at 18 and Derek Carr 17. So they're right around there. But, okay, just simple. Derek Carr is going to go up against the Chiefs defense twice a year. The Denver Broncos defense twice a year. Now you go to Jameis Winston. He's looking to have a breakout year. He already knows the offense. He's a true leader. He has two tight ends to throw at. His offensive coordinator last year, Dirk Cutter, got promoted to coach. So that continuity's there. He's going to put the game in his hands. And he's a gamer. You know what I mean? I haven't even mentioned Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. I know Vincent Jackson's on the downside of his career, but he's still not going to get doubled. And he's still a legit wide receiver.
He's a red zone threat, you know?
Yeah, he's a red zone threat. And he knows how to find those creases when it's, you know, third and 12. You know, he'll come up with that ball. He'll climb the ladder and get it. Whatever you need, he's very versatile. He's just been hampered by injury, so hopefully he can stay healthy. But not only that, my point that I'm getting to is that Jameis Winston is going to face the Panthers secondary minus Josh Norman. The Atlanta Falcons secondary, which I can only name one starter, and it's this Trufant kid, and the Saints secondary, which sucks balls. You and I both know that. So, I mean, just straight up off that, I would prefer Jameis Winston over and Derek
he
Carr.
He can run, too. He's not afraid to, you know, do his Cam Newton impression.
Yeah, he has crab legs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really high on Winston. And actually, even if there's going to be, depending where you're at, there's going to be some people that are going to, I don't really see that there's value on Derek Carr because there's so many Raider fans here in town, and
yeah,
they're
that's true.
The Raider that are drinking the Raider Kool-Aid. So if you see like Derek Carr going over like Andy Dalton or Tony Romo or Jameis Winston or even like you said a guy like that's really who I can really just say I still like Andy Dalton. I don't know where they have him in your rankings, but on here they have him 16.
They got him 18, but I mean these are guys where you're. They'll be had late. You don't have to worry about, oh, I need to reach for Dalton, you know?
Yeah, no, good. I mean, I kind of figured that, which is fine, because if you can load up on extra receiver, do that, because Andy Dalton's going to be just fine. Last time I checked, he's throwing it to, you know, A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert. He has two fabulous running backs, awesome offensive line. Yeah, he lost Hugh Jackson, and I love Hugh Jackson. I think RG3 is going to do great. I don't even know where RG3 is on here. I love RG3, and I noticed on Thursday he had two great passes. One is tight end Barnage, which is a gamer, and Terrell Pryor. You know, Terrell Pryor's got speed. He has the Raider record for longest rush in a game. He burnt, I want to say, the Seahawks for like 93 yards.
Yeah, I think he has the NFL record for longest touchdown run by a quarterback.
Yeah, he's got speed to burn, man. He's just learning the position. He's establishing that chemistry. He's really been the only wide receiver out there with RG3. Coleman hasn't been able to play. And, of course, we know Gordon's troubles. So,
yeah, I mean, bottom line, I'm going to say it again, there's a lot of quarterback value. I feel like these guys in the middle, you know, from maybe Breeze on at number five to Phillip Rivers at number 11, you don't need to reach for those guys because from – the guys we're talking about, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, these are guys I think who can win you championships. I mean, look at the way Kirk Cousins balled out last year in the fantasy playoffs. We got bit by not playing him, but he was great at the end of last year, and he probably went undrafted last year.
Exactly, man. And I'll be the first to say it, I was an Andy Dalton guy, but I mean, when you're playing fantasy, you're playing numbers, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I think lucked out that Andy Dalton didn't finish the year because he would have ended up being awesome. he would end up being, I think, you know, right outside the top 10, getting ready to make that jump to inside the top 10. So I really see these two guys, Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston, with top 10 potential, like this year, not especially Winston because he's so young, but this year, to replace like a Tom Brady. And I know that sounds outlandish, like I said, but I mean, you just gotta have foresight. You gotta do it if you're gonna win leagues, and you gotta be contrarian, I guess, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, give me a sleeper before we move on from quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, I think that's all they've really been talking about, sleepers. I mean, if you're telling me Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton.
You told us RG3. I mean, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I like RG3. I think he's, I wouldn't say draftable, but he's definitely a pickup you can trust, you know?
To put up some numbers.
No, he's going to put up numbers.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson is that good. He has a talented running back. I don't advise you draft any, but I don't know who's going to come out of that race. Like I put in my notes, like I know who, you know, the running backs are good, but I couldn't tell you who their names are. I've probably seen them in college. But, you know, like I said, though, he has Barnage at tight end. He has Coleman, the wide receiver out of Baylor, the first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Then he's going to get Gordon back game 5. It looks like he's already established that chemistry with Terrell Pryor. So, I know he has a spotty, you know, offensive line, but Hugh Jackson is going to make it like a one read system. He just has to make one read. If it's not there, then he just has to get rid of it and lose the play next down.
Right.
And I think they're going to be successful. I know you do too. I know you trust in Hugh Jackson. So there's my sleeper. I don't know if he's much of a sleeper, RG3. He did a lot of people wrong, but you know, life goes on.
All right. All right. So let's move on to some preseason observations. Just anything that stand out to you. Can I start? Stand out to us?
Yeah, by all means.
Can I just do a little rant about the 49ers quarterback situation really quick?
Enlighten us. Who's going to win that job?
Well, I don't think there's any question. It's Blaine Gabbert. If he can stay alive through the preseason, he took some hits and was limping around in their first game.
So you're telling me that Christian Ponder is not there to take the job?
No, he's there to throw the ball because Colin Kaepernick has arm fatigue and he's not even able to really practice. Now, he's been throwing a little bit more. He's going to miss the second game as well, today's game against the Broncos, but they're hoping that he's going to play next week against the Green Bay Packers. But I have a little conspiracy theory, okay? I think that Gabbert, you know, I think Kaepernick wants Gabbert to start the season so that way Gabbert can face the really tough schedule that the 49ers have to start the season, some tough defenses. Let him get beat up a little bit so then Kaepernick can come in and play decent, sign a contract, and to play somewhere else. Because he's basically on a year-to-year contract. That's what I think.
Well, I have one further from you. I mean, my wheels were spinning when you were talking about, you know, what your thoughts were on it. And I got a little bit more of, you know, put the foil on your head conspiracy theory kind of. I think Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly know that they just have to ride out the year because it's ridiculous. It's hellacious. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
There's no offensive talent on the roster as far as receiving, I would say. Carlos Hyde is nice, but I don't know if he's Chip's guy as far as his style. Would you agree?
I don't know either. I think he's a good running back, and I think he will definitely fit. The one positive I would say, just to interject here, from watching the Niners and reading about him, is that they do have a much improved offensive line this year.
I was going to say that. Oh, man, you stole my thunder. I was going to say, I like you guys' offensive line, just on paper. I just did a preview for my own notes on the Niners, and I was like, oh, man. And I know I recently talked to you about that lineman that came back. I guess he's playing right guard. He just took the job over, right?
Yeah, Anthony Davis. Well, they're going to try him out there because they said they want to get the best five, and he's, you know, he was a first-round pick. He was a really good offensive lineman.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's my little conspiracy theory. I know I've, you know, delayed it long enough, but I think they're in, for those of you who listen to rap in the late 90s, they're in No Limit True Tank Soldier mode. I think they're going to freaking tank, dog. I think they're just tanking, and they're like, they're, because if you look at, I looked at who the number one quarterback is coming out this year, and it looks like it's the kid out of Clemson, Deshaun Watson. And I don't know if you watched the Bama game. Did you watch the Bama Clemson game?
No, I don't watch college football. I don't watch real football.
Oh, okay. Well, it's pretty good. The college pretend fake football, the fake tackling they do, it's pretty good. Okay. Pretty entertaining. Fills my Saturdays. All right. But anyways, I hope some more listeners caught it. Well, anyways, and you could take that with a grain of salt. I actually like the kid, but I found out that Todd McShay, ESPN's draft guru, actually has him number one on his board. And actually, I think that hexes him because he also had – this is the same guy, Todd McShay, who had Blaine Gabbert number one over Cam Newton. And I know drafting is not exactly, you know, science. It's an art. But still, I mean, I can't really respect the guy if you have Blaine Gabbert. Even I knew that he wasn't pro material coming out of Missouri. I was like, what the hell's your pro? This kid just took Auburn, you know, from the dreads to number one overall in the country, undefeated, you know? Right. But anyways, that's a separate rant for a separate show. Anyhow, so I think they're in, you know, no limit, true tank mode.
Right.
And they're going to suck balls.
I don't think they're going to need a lot of help doing that is what I'm saying. And for fantasy purposes, the only thing I can say with Gabbert in there is he did throw it to the tight ends more. So you might want to look at
that. I mean, I hate to even waste listeners' time. Hopefully there's some Niner fans listening. But for DFS sake, because I know Blaine Gabbert's not draftable. If you in a two quarterback league, which I actually am, gosh forbid if I have to get stuck with that guy, I'm drafting my first overall as fast as I can. I'm drafting Cutler if I have to, Sam Bradford. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to say, actually, since we're talking about tidbits preseason. The Eagles are going to suck.
Dude, the Eagles, I don't see a lot of action there.
I found out their coach, dude, like 5 years ago, was a high school coach. And I was like, now he's making personnel decisions? Wow. I don't trust him at all. And we all know how good the Chargers – I know the Chargers were pretty beat up last year, long offensive line, like I said before. They really haven't, you know, developed running back talent. They have one receiver in Keenan Allen, not much there to play with. But the Eagles drafted that offensive coordinator, I think, Doug Peterson.
Uh-huh.
That they're gonna suck. Their offensive lineman's getting done in for 10 games. I don't think they're gonna put in their rookie quarterback Carson Wentz. They got desperate. I had already read that they don't have a number one receiver to play the outside. So that's why they made a trade for Dorial Green Beckham, which has no fantasy value because he had already been kicked out of Georgia. Yeah, he had been kicked out of Georgia, went to Missouri, then he got kicked out of Missouri, and then the Titans drafted him, then they got rid of him. They traded him to the Eagles because the Eagles, Nelson Aguilar who's the other kid that the Eagles have?
Quarterback?
No, the other receiver.
Aguilar?
No, I already said him. The other receiver. Aguilar and was it Jordan?
Oh, Jordan Matthews?
Yeah, Jordan Matthews. None of those guys, they're slot guys. They're not go deep guys. So then that's why they got Dorial Green Beckham. So they're hitching their wagon to him. They have like a 40-year-old Darren Sproles and Ryan Matthews. No, I just don't see it, man. Sam Bradford's made of glass.
Fantasy wasteland, man. Niners, yeah. Eagles, fantasy wasteland. I'm not drafting any of those receivers, by the way. I mean, unless I can get Jordan Matthews super late. Oh, man.
No, that's fantasy wasteland, bro. You're better off. You know,
getting the fourth receiver on the wide receiver
you mentioned a few podcasts ago. He's from Germany, Vikings wide receiver Burkowski Jonas or something. I don't know, but hey, stay the hell away from the Eagles, man.
Hey, you know, there's a couple running backs who look pretty good in preseason.
Everybody looks good when they're playing people from fourth and fifth string. They aren't going to play. They're from like Nevada Institute of Technology.
That's a good school, dude. That's an accredited university. All right.
No, you just called it pretend football, dude. You have no credibility talking about. No, these running backs look good.
Come on, I'm kidding.
Who look good?
Henry, the rookie for the.
Oh Titans. Yeah, no, I mentioned that. Remember, I said yeah. Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but. You mentioned that before we saw him play professional football. And he looked good behind that offensive line. And it looks like, you're right, they do want to feed the ball now. The only problem is they have DeMarco Murray there, but you know, if they're split.
Yeah, and that's the scary part for fantasy. Yeah. They run similarly, so they might actually hand it off, and at the bottom of the pile, at a touchdown, as a fantasy owner, you're going to be like, now fuck, now is that Murray or is that, you know, Derrick Henry, yeah. You know? Yeah. So that's – and, you know, so what is it about the Titans? They always have that 1-2 combo. Remember when they had Chris Johnson and Lendell White?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, the stigma, you know, once you're a team, like the Niners, if you're the Niners, you're just going to suck, you know? And if you're the Raiders, you're just going to move, you know?
Okay, so the other running back that I really liked was Fromo on the Cowboys. I know they picked him up in the offseason, but that was obviously overshadowed by the Ezekiel Elliott draft pick. Well, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, has these minor injuries, nothing major, and he didn't play yesterday. So Fromo got the start, but that looks like a perfect fit for him. I mean, get that guy behind a big offensive line where he doesn't get touched in the backfield and give him a head of steam, and he looked pretty good, man.
He's a very talented guy. I didn't think he got a fair shake in the Redskins. And I bet the Redskins are probably dreading the fact that they didn't resign him right now.
No, you're right. Redskins want to pass. And he's not the pass catching kind of running back, you know.
No, but they already have Matt Jones, bro. He would have complimented Matt Jones perfectly. I don't think they gave him enough rock. They just when they don't like a guy, when you know when someone don't like you, they don't like you. Don't matter. Well, I'm saying he's a perfect fit for Dallas, but I don't know how much value he has because, you know, DMC is going to come back and get some carries. The man everybody is waiting to see the rock being, you know, getting his hands is Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. You don't invest a fourth pick overall in the draft, you know, because Fromo looked good in the preseason game. Yeah, and I like him. Don't get me wrong, I like him, but I don't know how much value he has. Especially, I remember you just texted me. You're like, I like Fromo. Oh, they just threw it to him, and I was thinking, yeah, but he doesn't catch passes. And then you text me right away, like. They just threw it to him, and he didn't catch it.
Yeah, he did not catch it. It wasn't the best pass by Romo, I'll tell you that. But
yeah, but still, man, I mean, John Madden, for your kid, he's not old enough to remember. He just say, well, if it hits your hands, you got to catch it. You got to catch it.
Yeah.
That was a sorry impression, but you know.
Any other observations from any other games that you've seen?
Well, like I said, I haven't seen any preseason week two. But I saw the first half of New England and the Saints week one. And that's another reason I think the Patriots are in trouble. I don't like this Garoppolo kid. He's not good versus the rush. I know he had some success in the second quarter, but that's when the second stringers and third stringers were in. You get some pressure in his face. And like most people, he just can't handle it. You know, only elite people can handle it. He just crumbles under the pressure, and he doesn't get rid of the ball. He doesn't do reads fast enough for me. Now, granted, in that game, I remember me and you were communicating, and he didn't have Edelman. He only had Bennett. He didn't have Gronk. I don't even know if the Rodgers kid was out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was. I think he hurt his elbow or something. But I don't know. I don't like him. I mean, what about you? I mean, are you saying, so if you draft Brady – can you draft Garoppolo and then you have the two? Because I think a lot of people are going to think they're going to be clever and do that. Would you advise that?
Hell
I
wouldn't. No.
I sure as hell not.
Hell no. If I get Brady, I'm going to get like a Winston or someone else like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, we talked about, yeah, observations. RG3, I think he's definitely draftable. I have here is he's being coddled, yes, but Hugh Jackson is going to build up his self-esteem. You know, he's shattered. He came from a season where he was straight up scout team quarterback. I like the weapons he's had, as I said. I also I'm just kind of going over myself now. I like Andy Dalton. I know that Sanu's gone. I know Marvin Jones is gone. And there's a guy that apparently is looking good and we didn't talk about on the fantasy wide receiver podcast. But apparently Marvin Johnson's adapted well to the number one role in with the Lions. So I would say he's draftable over
Garoppolo.
No, over Tate. Well, yeah, no, Garoppolo's not draftable. But
can we start calling him Crappolo?
Sure.
Already? Because it Crappolo. Has a nice ring to it.
Crappolo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had mentioned already in Titanland, Splitsville situation, you saw the same thing. We talked about that. No, yeah, I mean, I think that's a wrap. I don't have anything new. I just got through betting week two of the EPL, so I'm excited about that.
How's that going?
It went well. I bet Arsenal. Not Arsenal. I bet Arsenal right now, and it's looking like a 0-0. But I bet Arsenal. And then yesterday I took Manchester United -1, ended up 2-0. And I had I just got the one loss today. I took who did I take? I don't even remember. That's beside the fact. People don't even know what teams I'm talking about, so it don't matter. But
there's got to be a soccer league in like Turkey that might not be rigged that you can probably put away a draw on.
Oh hell no, it's rigged. It's Fabernage and Galatasaray is the two main teams there. There's always like one team or two teams that just dominate every country. It's straight up like mafia shit. Like, okay, all the good players this team gets. It's like Little League baseball in some countries. Like, all the good players they go to this team. You know, so freaking rigged. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, man. So we broke down the quarterbacks. Next, we have tight ends. Oh, okay.
What I did want to say was, you know what? We want to get some like interaction with the listeners. So
you are one interrupting motherfucker. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to email me? I don't know if Roach wants to give out his email. It's altichiva@yahoo.com. Questions, comments, advice.
There you go.
And I can run it by Roach too and be like, hey, this guy wants to know this, you know, and I'll run it by him. Or maybe I don't.
Reader questions, send them to altichiva, ultichiva@yahoo.com.
@yahoo.com.
Yep. And maybe one day we'll get professional and get our own Sports Gamble podcast email. That might be cool.
Yeah, baby steps though,
baby steps, right. Next we're going to break down tight ends, hopefully here within the next few weeks, and then football's going to start, and our plan is to have a weekly podcast where we discuss, you know, what's going on, and maybe some betting advice, some fantasy advice, and how Manuel's bank account's looking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I will put, they're linked, my bank account and my gambling account's linked.
Oh no. So,
yeah, anyways, alright, well, let's not waste people's time. Goodbye.
Alright, peace out.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.